All right. Well, some time ago, we began a sermon series entitled In God We Trust. And Ronnie, I'm excited to say I think this is going to go on for a little while. And we started, if you remember, when lions come to dinner. You remember when we talked about what it's like when a lion comes to dinner and how to respond to that? And then we talked about the road less traveled as we looked at Joseph and the incredible journey from being pampered to being prepared to be God's instrument of salvation for so many. And then we looked at a faith that shakes when we looked at Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark as they went through the process of ministry, and God delivered them through the shaking of the walls. And we are going to wrap up today our study on Noah, a hope that floats. Now, the weather today is perfect. It's a perfect weather day considering we're finishing up Noah. Now, let me also say this. Has anyone ever come into the worship center and thought the roof looks like the bow of four ships coming together? Okay, we have one? Okay. When we first moved onto campus, one of our ladies struggled with, she said it looked like the bow of four ships, and when she looked up, it made her dizzy. It was, what's that, vertigo? She goes, I don't know what to do. I said, don't look up. And I think she's recovered from the vertigo. And I love one of the ladies asked us, Jeff, you remember the night we had our first service over here before the campus became ours? One of the ladies said, Brother Jimmy, I have a question. I said, okay. They go, how do we clean up there? I said, don't worry about it. We'll just let gravity bring it down to us, you know. So, but it's a perfect day. The weather is perfect as we wrap up our study on Noah. And I know that you might would like, Ronnie, would you like to know?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
You think I'm going to tell you?
No.
You don't think so? Well, you're wrong today.
Oh,
really? Our next study is Samson, a faith that brings down the house. Yes, we're going to look at that great Bible character, Samson. And one of the things that you need to understand about all of these individuals is they're individuals just like you. They are not supermen or women. They are women who love men and women who love the Lord, who were found faithful to the Lord, and God chose to invite them onto the field of competition of faith and use them in an incredible way. And you look at these stories and you hear these accounts and you may think, man, I wish I could do that. Let me say this to you. You walk close to the Lord and you will do that. Now, do you get to be a Samson? Maybe. But I can tell you one thing that Samson did not do. He did not grow old in the Lord. If you live your life every day and live to 80 and you love him and you serve him and you glorify him and you testify to him, my friend, you are a Samson in your world. Samson didn't get the privilege of growing old. And if we have the privilege of aging in the Lord and we're faithful, then we are doing great things for him. So we're going to be looking at Samson and his life and ministry. But today we're going to wrap up our look at Noah. Now I'm going to miss Noah. I have spent more time with Noah over the last 6-7 weeks, perhaps ever at one given time. I really try to sit and just spend time, and I'm going to miss Noah, because as I've thought about Noah and as we think about Noah, Noah was a man 500 years of age, just living his life, just loving his bride, loving his kids, loving his daughter-in-laws, just living his life, loving the Lord, and the Lord says, Noah, I've got something for you. Well, what's that, Lord? You know, maybe a blessing? You know, maybe a bumper crop in the fields? What is it? Well, Noah, I need you to build a boat. Well, Lord, I'm not a boat builder. I never even appeared one time on Deadliest Catch. Noah was not a boat builder by trade. And God says, I need you, better yet, like Josh said earlier in our 9 o'clock hour, I want you to build a boat. I want you to come onto the field of competition of faith and obedience and do something that is exceedingly and abundantly more than you ever could have imagined. Well, Lord, how long is this going to take? Well, Noah, let's just get started. And we'll talk about it as we go. Well, we know that it took 100 years or so. That's a long time. That's a long time. Can we just all agree? That's a long time to do anything. I mean, come on. But you know what Noah did? Noah showed up day after day, week after week, month after month. Noah stayed true to the calling. Noah guided the provision and the people and all the things that God put together. And by God's grace, he built a boat. This man of a certain skill set that wasn't boat building. And so today we're going to look as God closes this chapter for us. Let's remind ourselves of this wonderful quote one last time. The hope that God has provided for you is not merely a wish. Neither is it dependent on other people, possessions, or circumstances for its validity and vitality. Instead, biblical hope is an application of your faith that supplies a confident expectation in God's fulfillment of his promises, coupled with a faith and a love. Hope is a part of the abiding characteristics in a believer's life. As believers, we should be hopeful people. Now, we don't have a hope-so salvation. We have a no-so salvation. But as believers, we should be a hopeful people, even in days like today. Amen? So let's look. Genesis chapter 8. You can join me there. I have entitled today, Noah, a promise made and a promise kept. How trustworthy is a promise? Well, a word should be our bond, amen? Well, a promise from God is 100%. God makes a promise, he will always, always, always see it through. God made a promise to Noah, and now we're going to see God fulfills that promise. It's Genesis chapter 8, the first verse. But God remembered Noah, all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused the wind to pass over the earth and the water to subside. Also, the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed. The rain from the sky was restrained, and the water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the water descended. This could be when Nessie got trapped in Loch Ness. We don't know. That's free. It doesn't cost you extra. It's not worth much anyway. Anyway, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. The water decreased steadily until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible. So first of all, we see where the scripture says that God remembered Noah. May I ask you this question? Is it important to you to be remembered? It absolutely is. It absolutely is important. Even those who do not receive God, even those who may reject God, there is something inside the human DNA that wants to be remembered. One of the reasons we have kiddos is that we get to be remembered. They get to live on, right? Some of us may have our name on stadiums. Some of us may have a bronze statue in front of the church. It could happen. I don't know. It might. We don't know. Only the Lord knows the future. But we deeply desire to be remembered. And the Bible tells us that God remembered Noah. Has there ever been a time in your life where maybe the only glint of sunshine is the fact that you knew that God remembered you? Has there ever been an event in your life or a circumstance in our lives where the fact that God remembers you is the firm foundation which you will stand on in that moment? That is the first step. That's the first place. My friends, God never forgets us. The world may say it. There's some terrible theology out there that teaches it. But the Bible tells us this, that God forgets not one thing. He even says this, not only will I not forget you, but I know you intimately. I knitted you together in your mother's womb. I know the number of hair on your head. I know your thoughts before you think them. My friends, God remembered Noah, and he remembers you. He brought Noah from a firm foundation to a firm foundation. Now, we can all agree that sometimes life gets a little stormy, don't we? Here's Noah, 500 years of age, well-established, bride, kids, you know, daughter-in-laws, all the things. And God says, listen, I'm going to take you from here to there, but between here and there, it's going to get a little stormy. Life gets stormy, doesn't it? Sometimes by our own choices, we can stir up the storm. Sometimes by the choices of others. And sometimes life just happens. That's one of the storms we dislike the most, isn't it? There's not really a rhyme or reason. It just is. But God says, I will take you from firm foundation to firm foundation, and I will not forget you in between. And my friend, I don't know where you are, from on a firm foundation, in the storm, or on the other firm foundation, but God has not forgotten you. God will not forget you. God will always, always, always see you through. Now, here is the variable. Noah remembered God. Now, the challenge you and I face is this, is we need to remember God. We need to remember God first thing in the morning. Do you wake up and say, God, thank you. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for another day, for another opportunity. Noah remembered God. If we're not careful, any one of us can become so busy, we can become so blessed that we tend to forget God. You say, Jimmy, it just happened. Listen, I love you, but don't deceive yourself. Sometimes we just get, you know, we get really distracted and all these things. It's human nature. We see it all the time. But Noah remembered God. The float was 371 days long. Can we all admit that's a little more than a three-hour tour? Over a year on this thing. And surely it smelleth. That's old. That's King James for our fundamental independent Baptist friends. The float was over a year long. Listen, that's a beating. That's kind of like having Corona 2020. You just don't have to spend it all in one place. The float was long, and the challenge that we had was this, is Noah had to remember God. He had to wait on his word. God said, I will deliver you. He had to wait on his word, and waiting is the hardest part. How hard is it to wait? Oh my, it's hard to wait at a light. My granddaughter doesn't want to wait at a stoplight anymore, and she's not three yet. Now, I don't have a car seat in my car, but my bride will tell me, it's Gigi, go. And Gigi says, well, the light's red. What does right light, what does red mean? Red means stop. Gigi, go. The light is red. They don't understand. Listen, waiting is hard. But Noah and his family had to wait on God's word. God gave his word. Now we have to wait on his word. And for his word, and to this end, there is no shortcut. We have to wait in his word, and we have to wait for his word. There is no shortcut in waiting. That's the problem. That's the struggle. There is no life hack for waiting. Not only did they have to wait on the Lord, now here's the truth. Where were they going to go? That's right. I've had enough of you. I'm going to the other end, which that's a long way. Can you imagine the game of hide and seek they could have had? Think about that. They didn't play laser tag. It's too early. But not only did they wait on the word and in the word, but they worshiped. Lord provided them the instruments for which to worship. Not only do we have to wait on the Lord, but we have to worship him. Worship isn't a byproduct of deliverance. Worship is a byproduct of relationship. We don't withhold praise. Can I say this as a parent? Don't withhold praise only till the A comes. Man, if that kiddo's given their very dead level best and it's a C, you praise that C. I have purposed to encourage my kids, and I want you to know I do a better job now than I even did when they were younger. Because we need to worship the Lord in the process. Not just at the beginning, not just at the end, but in the process. And then lastly, we need to be about his work. I don't know if you know this, but the ark was full of work. every day, 24/7, for 371 days. Guess what? They never got to leave work. Every day was Monday on the ark. We have to wait on the Lord. We need to worship the Lord, and we need to be about his work. Noah and his family didn't say, well, we'll wait till we get to dry land to do the work. We'll wait. The work needs to be done. The work out there needs to be done, and the work in here needs to be done, and most importantly, the work in here needs to be done. Your spiritual maturity is your responsibility. If your spiritual maturity is not growing in the process, my friend, that is your responsibility. The word and the worship and the work are all things to help you mature in the world, in the word of God. But we see that God remembered Noah, and Noah remembered God. Verse 6, then it came about at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove from him to see if the water had abated from the face of the land. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him in the ark, and for the water was on the surface of all the earth. And he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark to himself. So he waited yet another 7 days. Interestingly, 7 days, another 7 days. Again, he sent out the dove from the ark. The dove came back toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. Now, isn't it interesting that the symbol for peace is very typically what? A dove with an olive branch. Was freshly picked. So Noah knew that the water had abated from the earth. And then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and she did not return to him again. So now we see Noah doing the reconnaissance. Noah attempted to discern the unseen conditions. Now, Noah's inside the boat. There's not a way of seeing outside the boat. And so this window is opened up. Noah sends the birds out. He's doing reconnaissance. Have you ever wanted to do reconnaissance? Have you ever wanted to know what you don't know that you don't know? We do that all the time, don't we? The Lord says, wait, and you go, well, let me do a little reconnaissance. Let me see. And so the raven was sent out. Now, the challenge with the raven is this. The raven is considered an unclean bird, and a raven would have no problem whatsoever landing on a carcass The raven wouldn't have a hard time landing on a carcass, not only landing on a carcass, but consuming the carcass. And so the raven found some place to go to buffet. And so the raven didn't return. The dove, on the other hand, wouldn't, because it's considered a clean animal, would not put its feet, it would not land on something dead, much less eat it. And it would always return to its point of origin. And so we see the three sending out. The dove returned on the first time because there was nowhere for her to land. The water had not yet abated far enough for her to find a place to land. The second trip includes the olive branch, which means that the water had rescinded. Not only that it had rescinded, but also that growth had begun. You have to remember, 12 and a half miles of water for over a year, things have to have time to firm up and begin to grow again. It just doesn't happen overnight. In the third trip, the dove found a permanent place to stand. And so Noah knew we were about ready to step out. Verse 13. Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. And then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Now we see that Noah is being recommissioned. Do you remember at the beginning of this, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, 100 years of building the boat. God says, it's time. You have 7 days. And at the end of those 7 days, do you remember what we said last week? God said what? Come into the ark, Noah, you and yours. We talked about the fact that God didn't send them into the ark. We talked about the fact that God didn't walk them into the ark. God said, come into the ark. God was already where he was calling them to. Amen? God called them into the ark. Now he's sending them out of the ark. He says, come out. Go out. Go out and live your lives. He says, go out and love. Love one another. Love the Lord. Love yourself. He says, go out and lead. There will be a time where Noah and his family are the greatest testimony to God's provision. You have Adam and Eve, and their sin cast them out of the garden. And we see these years later, all of humanity abandoned the testimony. And now here's Noah and his wife and their families, and now there's a testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you, I believe it's not a far stretch, it's certainly not a stretch far enough for us to pull our hamstrings, that every Sunday when we leave this place, God is commissioning us to go and live, to go and love, and to go and lead. Amen? This is our ark. Every week we get the privilege of coming into this place that kind of looks like a boat. We come in here, we rejuvenate, we celebrate, we might commiserate a little. And at the end of it, God says, I love you, I'm here for you, go. Go into the world. Go into the world that is lost. Go into the world that is destroyed. Go into the world that is dark and uncertain. My friends, as it was in the day of Noah, so it is today. We need to go and live our lives. How? Well, the way God says to live them. The other night, my bride and I can't remember, where were we? Do you remember where we were seated? I'm only going to give her half the story. She's not going to pass this test. But we were seated somewhere together. And she goes, are you ready to go? I said, well, wait just a minute. And I'm just sitting there. And this is the truth. I was completely lost in just how good my life is. I think we were out eating, weren't we? At first, that's right. Furs. Who is that over here? I'll call you next time. We got there at 5. We were bluebirding it and we didn't even intend to. And at the end, she goes, is this a senior plate or a regular? I said, ma'am. That discount's not enough. But I was seated there thinking just about life. And I was completely overwhelmed with just how good my life is. Is my life perfect? No. But no. But the grace of God is so good. And if we will take the time to do the inventory and to be happy with what God has provided for us instead of always worrying about what else we want. There's not a thing wrong with wanting things. There's not a thing wrong with buying. There's not anything wrong with that. But if we learn to be content with what we have, then everything else's value just simply goes up. But every week he sends us out of this beautiful place and he says, go live your lives. Go live your one and only life and make it the best life you can. Go and love. Love who? Love God first. If you're not loving God first, everything else is out of whack. If you're not loving God first, it's like needing to go to the chiropractor. You are out of alignment. You are out of alignment, sir. Love the Lord with everything that you've got. Love yourself as he loves you. And then, and only then, are we ready to love other people. You will never look anyone in the eye that God does not love. Irregardless of any other delineation you want to find. And go out and lead. lead people at least to the truth of the gospel. It's not our place to force them to receive it, but it is our privilege to lead them to it. We are sent out of this place. Verse 20, and then the door opens up, everyone's piling out, fresh air, dry ground. It must have been incredible. And in very short order, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He built a place of worship to the Lord. Is it important? Can we worship the Lord anywhere? We certainly can. We can worship the Lord anywhere we are. But Noah built an altar to worship the Lord. Sometimes there is an importance of being at a place in which we worship. Noah and his family gathered at that place to worship together. My friends, this is our place, and it's important for us to be here as often as we can. Worship is a natural response. If our worship is anything other than a natural response, then we really need to work on some things. If worship is something that you're forced into, my friends, it's not worship. It's duty. Worship is a natural response. Why? First of all, because God is holy. We talked about that. He's holy. That means you know exactly where he stands and you know exactly where you stand. Secondly, we worship because of what God has done. He has provided a means by which we can be saved. He provided an ark in Noah's time. He's provided Christ in our day. The provision of salvation has been made. I have gloriously received it. I'm as sure for heaven as if I'm standing there. And my friend, if you have not, God says, come. Come and be saved. Thirdly, we worship because of who we are and what we are. I'm a sinner. I was coming to campus yesterday and I don't know what happened, but my anxiety was through the roof. I don't know, man. People were just aggressive. And I hate to admit this, but I thought a sinful thought at one moment. I did. Because I'm a sinner. Now, what I will say this, but I got to God's place. I got in God's word. And guess what? The anxiety started to abate, but anyway, but we worship, why? Because we're sinners. Not that we don't worship because we're sinners. We worship because God loves sinners and he's made a way. And then lastly, we worship because God is trustworthy. He is worthy of our worship. God gives us a hope that floats even when the world is flooded. So when we look at a man named Noah, just an ordinary man, a man who quite truthfully doesn't get his just deserts as a man of faith. We skip right over the man Noah during VBS, don't we? Let's just get to the boat. The kids just want to see the animals. But Noah is a pillar of faith. Noah is an example of the life of faith. His life shows us the eternal truth that we are saved by grace through faith. It was God's grace to provide the ark, and it was faith that Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives entered into the ark. Grace through faith. His life serves as a reminder that judgment on sin will come. My friends, as believers, we must remember. God holds every sin into account. Every one of them, whether believer or unbeliever. My friend, judgment day is coming. Make no mistake. 2 Peter tells us this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works of that are done with, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Noah is a beautiful picture of what's yet to come. But I'm going to say this. I believe the judgment that's yet to come is worse than the judgment in the days of Noah. Jesus uses the life of Noah as a foreshadowing of what it will be like when the Son of Man returns in final judgment. like Noah. Let's do all that we can do to help people hear the gospel, to hear the good news. Jesus saves. To hear the good news that God loves you. To hear the good news that every life is precious, born and unborn, young, middle-aged, or old. All life is precious. Let us do as Noah did for those 100 years as he built the boat, to let people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to invite them into the safety of that same gospel. You can be saved. You can be saved from today. Have you made better decisions since Christ is the King of your life? I have. Do you look back and you look at the fork in your life and you go, man, if I'd have gone that way, oh Lord, help me. Listen, I'm telling you what, I'm tore up from the floor up, but I'd have been misery about it if I'd have gone the other way. I remember distinctly that moment. And I do take moments to look and to ponder on what could have been, but for the grace of God. And let's help them grow. For those who will be saved, not all will be saved. And that hurts my heart. But for those who will be saved, for those who will receive, let us help them grow in the hope of the gospel. The church is a hopeful people. Listen, be a hopeful person. Don't let the world's circumstances bring you down. Don't let the attitudes of people bring you down. Don't let haters bring you down. Be a hope-so believer. Why? Because God is God, is God. Is it hard out there? Yep. Is it uncertainty out there? Yep. But I have a hope. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us as we consider the life of Noah and his ministry. Lord, just as there was a hope in the day of Noah, there's a hope in our day. Lord, there is a gospel. There is good news in the midst of a lot of bad news. And that good news is that Jesus saves. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. The debt has been paid. And the Savior says, come, all who are thirsty. Come, all who are weary. Come, and I will give you. Father, we thank you that in this day, there is help, there is hope. And Father, I pray today for each and every one who have heard this message and the preceding messages. Lord, if they have not received the help and the hope that is in Christ, Lord, I pray that today they would do that. Lord, I pray that they would hear the Master's voice say, come, come and be saved. Lord, I pray for those of us who have heard the call and received the message, Lord, that we will renew our faith, our passion in a world that needs to hear. Father, as we leave this ark into the world, Lord, let us be diligent to love and to lead. Lord, the world is in desperate need of your truth, and we are your privileged ambassadors. Father, we pray that you would use us in a great and mighty way. Lord, we want to make a difference like Noah made a difference. But Father, you choose the time. Father, you choose the process. And Father, you choose the purpose. Father, help us to be faithful and obedient. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are the firm foundation that we can stand on in uncertain days. Father, we thank you that in the midst of the storm that is 2020, Lord, you can give us a hope that floats. We love you. We thank you for the privilege of prayer through Christ. And it's in his name we ask these things. Amen.